twice, and then the practice round twice as well. And you know, to be honest, there's good and bad with either. But the practice rounds, I can tell you, the players will have a lot more fun with you. They'll sign autographs. They'll joke with you. It's less crowded. So you know, it's a good time. When you walk on that into that club, I mean, everything is green, and it's like a postcard everywhere you look. It is really remarkable how well kept that place actually is.
We were talking about that last weekend, and all I said was just pure class. I just walk in there, and I just think, unbelievable class.
Yeah, well, that's the opposite end of the spectrum in which I live, so it might be nice
Well, it's funny because the tickets and the badges are really expensive, but you get in there, and beer's really cheap. The sandwiches are real cheap. I mean, everything is pretty controlled. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
So, Barrett, I saw a story today that the new head coach at Tennessee is going after recruits in a big, big way. And did I read 102 letters sent to Stanton Truitt?
To three-star player Stanton Truitt, who's actually Stephon Truitt's brother, the Notre Dame defensive lineman, out of Monroe, Georgia. And Butch Jones, you know, he's got some momentum on the recruiting trail. He got Tony Hurt, I'm sorry, last week, five-star running back. And, you know, Tua's a guy that I think is probably a little underrated in terms of where he has, you know, where he's slated on these recruiting services. But 103 letters, that'll get your attention. And, you know, it seems like every year somebody does this. You know, Nick Saban sent Alvin Kamara 75 letters at one time. Georgia Tech has done it a few times, sending just a ridiculous amount of letters to a prospect. So it happens. It pops up every once in a while, and when it does, it always seems to make headlines.
Yeah, it's funny to me that he would do it with a three-star recruit, though. I guess Nick Saban does that, but for five stars, you know.
Yeah. Well, Tua's a guy, I think, though. He's a pretty versatile athlete. I think with Tennessee, with what they're trying to do, he would be able to play several positions. And so, you know, I think, people are going to say, a three-star player, why are they messing around with him? Well, he's not a three-star player. That guy's a pretty solid ball player. He's going to do some things at college.
Okay. Since we talked last, Gunnar Keel officially gone from Notre Dame. Where he will land, I guess, don't really have a lot of information on it. Any insight where he might land, and if so, maybe in the SEC or not?
Well, I wrote some specific locations, including Arkansas, that I think would be good fits for him. But, you know, all reports seem to suggest that he's going to go to a MAC school or Cincinnati or somewhere like that. I think that'd be a bad choice on his part because, you know, say what you will about Gunnar Keel and his chest or whatever Les Miles thinks about him, the kid can play. I mean, he's a pretty darn good football player. And, you know, settling for a MAC school, you know, if you're not going to drop down and play immediately, why settle for a MAC school where you have to sit out? You know, go somewhere where you can compete and win a championship, a national championship. And I think Arkansas, especially if Brandon Mitchell ultimately wins the job at quarterback, that's a perfect fit for him because he can sit out next year and compete for a starting job right away. Tennessee, I think, would be a good place for him. Obviously, I think Auburn would be a good place for him. You know, there are, you know, places for him in the SEC if he wants to look at the SEC. And, you know, and that's why it was a little surprising to see some of these teams like Miami of Ohio, Bowling Green, some of these teams that are being thrown out there. You know, why sit out if you're going to go there? You know, sit out and play in the SEC or somewhere bigger and try to win a national championship.
That makes sense. Barrett Salee joining us in the zone on the Revolution Hotline, talking some college football. I guess when we were sort of joking about Kentucky basketball earlier, and I compared it to Alabama football, and the comparison would be coming off a championship and then doing what they did last night, it would be like Alabama ending up in the Independence Bowl and losing to like a Conference USA school.
Right. Yeah. Exactly what it would have been.
They're only about 40 suspensions away from maybe getting to that point for the coming fall. I'm assuming that's probably not going to happen.
No, they would have to have basically the entire roster just fall off the face of the earth for that to happen. You know, they're loaded with talent, and you know, you saw just this past week, you know, Cyrus Jones, a wide receiver who was highly touted, is playing defensive back pretty much full time this spring. D Hart, a running back that was a 4 or 5 star prospect, is playing cornerback this spring. You know, Nick Saban calls those experiments, but the reason you conduct experiments is to see if they work, and so. You know, especially in D. Hart's case, you know, he's behind about a small village of running backs on that depth chart. So, you know, it's a rich man's problem, and Nick Saban is certainly figuring out ways to make it work this spring.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before. I'm just afraid as long as he's there that it's going to be an awfully tall order. Now, one of the things around here, of course, one of the big news items, I guess, going into spring football has been that it is a very closed environment. You're going to get a few, just a quick little peek at it three different times as a media member, and then the rest of the fan base will get to see it when they play in the red-white game later on in the spring. What are the policies that you find around the league? How much is open? How much is closed? What do you find around the SEC?
All variations. You know, Mississippi State is completely open this this spring to fans. They tend to close it during during the summer and during, you know, game weeks and stuff. But on the flip side, Florida is basically completely locked down 24/7, 365. There's a bunch of variations in between. I think South Carolina is open to the fans this spring. It varies. You know, if it was me, I would close it too. I think Brett Bielema did the exact right thing because, you know, media still needs to deliver what they see. So opening it for three practices gives the media a little bit of a glimpse. But you don't want, you know, every single person and every single fan to be a, you know, an armchair quarterback and have, you know, ultimate knowledge of everything that's going on the practice field. That's especially in your first year, and it's been a year that has so many questions on the roster for Arkansas. So, you know, you can get a variety, but I think Bielema did it right. I have no problem with him closing practices to fans and allowing limited media access because, you know, even as a media guy, I'd love access too. I'd love 24/7, 365 access too, but, you know, their job is to win games, not provide information.
Yeah. That's true. And we keep begging, but we get nothing, so we'll just have to wait like everybody else does. Anything else? Any other news from the spring for the SEC?
You know, not a whole lot's been going on. You know, I think, you know, several teams are kicking off. Obviously, Alabama kicked off. I think Ole Miss kicking off spring practice is interesting. You know, they're going to be a team to watch, not just because of what they did last year, but they have so many players returning that are, you know, getting a jump start on fighting for their jobs with all the new players coming in. And even today, big loss. C.J. Johnson broke his fibula. He was their leading leading defensive end last year, probably going to line up opposite of Robert Condici next year. He's out for the rest of the spring. That's a big loss for him. Alex Anzalone for Florida, early enrollee that they desperately need to become a major factor right away. He's out for the spring with a labrum. So, you know, it's the injury bug's hitting, but that's, you know, as far as from my perspective, there have been no spring break arrests. So that's a good thing. You know, usually at this time you have somebody getting arrested on the way to Florida with some illicit materials in the car. So we haven't had that yet, but, you know, it's still the month is still young, so to speak.
It definitely is. Well, let's hope that none of that news comes out of Fayetteville. They need all the help they can get, certainly. So, all right, Barrett, who you got winning the whole thing in basketball?
Oh, I've got Miami. I spent 2 minutes on my bracket.
Hey,
you know, everyone's going to pick Louisville, and Miami's a good team. And you know, I want to be with everybody else because I'm not smart enough to make the other games matter. So I figured I'd just, you know, kind of not buck the trend, but at least, you know, be a little different with Miami. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like it.
I think they're going to get bounced early, but who knows?
It's
like gambling. It's really like gambling. You never know what's going to happen.
No, I know. I may just go home and flip a coin tonight for every matchup.
It's like going to the racetrack and you do all that work on, you know, doing the handicapping.
Yeah, when all you got to do is just pick the Baffert
exactly,
horse or the Lucas horse. It's pretty simple.
Or you go and you look at the horses when they're walking out and you go, oh, that one's gray or that one's got a pink bib and pick that. And you know what? Those are the people that hit it big at Oakland.
That's fine. All the basketball teams I pick in the NCAA tournament, I'm going with the pink bib.
The pink bib.
From now on.
Whoever's winning the pink bib.
There you go.
What's
that?
Which could be Notre Dame based on the uniforms they wore during the East tournament.
There's no question. They're going to get smashed by my alma mater, so do not pick Notre Dame in the first round.
I don't even know who they're playing.
Iowa State, the finest university in all the land.
I honestly have no idea who I picked in that game.
Did you revel in the fact that Kentucky lost in the NIT last night?
Yeah, neutral, but yes.
Okay. See, that's the thing. I'm pretty much pro SEC, but I do like to see Alabama fail in football, which it never happens, it seems like. And I like to see Kentucky.
You've been disappointed lately.
Yeah, no kidding. It's really sucked, but that's okay. Barrett, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again here in a couple weeks.
All right, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Barrett Salib, BleacherReport.com. Take some more calls. We have a lot of work to get to here in the last few minutes. We have to draw. We got to pick a winner in our hog epitaph contest that we had going earlier. And Christina's going to announce the winner of our automatic qualifier.
I'm excited.
And I do want to let you know that no matter where you go, tomorrow we're going to be at Dugan's Pub hanging out, and I invite everybody.